Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Well, good morning. I cannot help but dance when I hear music. So I learned on a missions trip very quickly. I think it was in Nicaragua, and they were telling us that unless it was Christian music, you are not allowed to dance. It's very shameful there. And that we were out somewhere, and they were playing, I don't know, like Shakira or something. And I was like, don't dance your shoulders. Don't do it. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, well, good morning, everyone. I'm Hillary. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad that you joined us today. How's everyone feeling? I am a responsive person, so feel free. I invite you to give a little hoot, give a little whoop whoop, give a little holler, give a little amen, give it a little ouch, I don't know. Whatever you feel like, I invite you to respond in this place. I have been to a couple of black churches, and they are some of my favorite responses. I didn't know that church could be so responsive there. They've got about four offerings. It's all right. It's wonderful. They keep going. But they say things there is in those moments. They're like, hey, God is pouring out blessings in this room, and I'm watching as these ladies are standing up in faith, reaching, literally reaching for blessings, saying, God, we need you. I need this blessing in my life. So feel free to respond in that today. We are in week two of our Discipleship Essentials series. Last week, Pastor Randy kicked us off. Anyone listen to last week's? Come on. And basically, all that this is we are teaching you some essential disciplines of what it means to be a disciple. Randy talked about that being a disciple is simply being a follower or a learner of someone. He used the example of Daniel to Mr. Miyagi. Come on, wax off. Anyone else? He used the example of Luke to Yoda. I think that's right. I've seen the mama once. That's right. Correct? My Star Wars people, where are you at? Yeah? Okay, good. He used that example that there is this person who is imparting wisdom and knowledge and teaching, and then there is the person who is the recipient, who is receiving those things, who is learning from them in hopes to look like them, to model their life, their characteristics, how they think, behave, and act like that person, right? So that is what it means to be a disciple. The key verse that we are kind of basing everything over these next couple of weeks on is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And it says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. That being a follower of Jesus, being considered a Christian, is not a laborsome, difficult, heavy burden. It is a freeing burden. And I don't even think burden is the correct word, because it is a gift that God gives us, that he gets to mold and shape us in his likeness and his image. And watch how he gives us rest. He gives us peace. He gives us identity. He gives us encouragement. And he gives us so many more things. Pastor Randy talked about how we need to first welcome his lordship. We are very unfamiliar with this term of lord. I don't own land in Scotland, so I'm not a lord or a lady. Oh, I guess Anna is, maybe. We don't greet people, oh, yes, my lord, my liege, my lady. Like, we don't say things like that anymore. So we have to understand in our context, what does it mean for someone to be Lord of your life? That means everything that you are comes under the authority of who they are and is submitted to them. That Jesus should not be a guest in your life that you just call on every once in a while when you want him, when you need something, that he shouldn't be just a servant that you're like, hey, God, I want this prayer. Can you come and do this? But he should be master and Lord of your life. That there is a consistent effort to be and build relationship with him so you can be formed into his likeness and his image. Can I get an amen? And so today we are doing week two, which is called Treasure His Word. Look at your neighbor, say treasure his word. Online, type treasure his word. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. If anyone brought their beautiful Bible, I busted out my big guy today. This is my big one. I have a little travel one that's fallen apart, so that one doesn't come with me as often. But we're in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and it says this. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted from much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I thank you, God, that you are here. God, that you are our firm foundation, that you are the rock on which we can stand on. God, that whenever anything is shaken, God, that we can stand and put our hope and our trust and our faith in you. God, I pray that we would be receivers of your word this morning. God, that you would open our ears and our eyes to the truth of what it is that you are speaking to us, and that, Holy Spirit, we would give you the freedom to form and mold and shape us this morning. God, I pray that you would anoint my lips and my words. May it not be mine, God, but may it be yours. May I just be a vessel for you. And we pray these things in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, I like to consider myself a pretty disciplined person. I like to start my morning the exact same every day. You see, I set my alarm for 6 a.m. and I wake up bright and early. You know, my hair is perfectly in place. Every curl is perfect. There is zero frizz to be found. I am blessed with rosy cheeks as I wake up, and you know, there's not a puffy wrinkle or a dark blemish under my eyes because I get a solid 9 hours of sleep every single night. I get out of bed and I make the most beautiful cup of coffee, you know, one that would make Derek shed a tear. I make this cup of coffee and I walk over to this beautiful, oversized, comfy, cozy chair, wrap myself in the fuzziest blanket, open up God's word, and I am just submerged the next hour long in the truth and who he is and everything about him, and I am just amazed at the knowledge, and then I start my day. That is a beautiful morning, isn't it? Well, I'm a big fat liar. I am the farthest thing from a morning person. I have tried for decades to be a morning person, and instead I have learned to embrace and advocate that no meetings should be had before 11 a.m. I ran into one of my friends from college a couple months ago, and she was like, oh man, I couldn't stand staying over at your house. And I was like, oh no, why? And she's like, you hit snooze so many times. Yes, I still have 4 alarms on my phone to wake up. But isn't that such a beautiful morning that I wish that that's who I was? But sadly, sleep eludes me. Frizz is my friend. And I find that no matter how hard I try to open my word and be consistent in God's word, that I didn't know it was possible to open up a book and all of a sudden every to-do list in extreme detail needs to be happening at that very moment. That even something maybe 3 months from now, I'm like, oh yes, I'm going on that trip. I need to get this, I need to get that. Oh, I gotta do laundry, I gotta do this. Oh, I'm starving, I'm so hungry. Has anyone ever realized how hungry they are when they begin to read God's word? Or I'm like, okay, God, I'm not gonna do it in the morning, I'm gonna do it at night. I'm gonna read my word at night. I didn't know I could actually fall asleep at night the second I try to read my word. Right? That reading God's word, I wish I could say it was super easy. I could tell you, yeah, I'm a pastor. God's so good. My worship, my prayer time, I read. It's amazing. But I would be lying to you. that, hey, listen, prayer can be actually pretty good for me. I try to pray all the time throughout my day. I have many conversations with Jesus and the Holy Spirit as I'm driving. I thank him for that parking spot at the front of the store. I said, thank God, amen, right? I have conversations with him. Worship and song, it comes a little bit easier for me, but reading God's word, I don't know what it is. I find it's a little bit more difficult. It feels like a discipline that I have to be strategic about. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Anyone else online? Are you with me? Listen, we are not perfect people. I am a human just like you are. And it's one of these things that we've got to be intentional about who we are and what we try to do. You see, in our Western culture, we often find that we celebrate and get awarded these badges of honor of, ooh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. We find ourselves anxious, worried, stressed. We even heard it a little bit during worship today and when we were praying before service of like, man, there's so many things going on. That we find our day is woken up with the kids are crying, or they've got a baseball tournament, we've got work to do, we've got emails to respond to. Before I even like wake up, I usually have like 4 text messages, 2 emails, 3 notifications, all from the moment I open my eyes. And yet we're like, yes, this is so good. And we find that no matter how hard that we try, we often hit snooze on the very thing that is most important. That no matter how hard we try, we run every other direction than the very direction that we should be running to. That we run to our addiction to try and fill us. We run to social media to, you know, I just want to decompress from the day, so I'm just going to keep scrolling. Hey, I'm really struggling with something. Let me reach out to a friend. We run to every other direction instead of running to the very thing that will give us the most answers, the most peace, the most structure, the most formation. And I don't think that that's a coincidence. God wants us to read his word. The enemy does not. And he's going to put every obstacle in our way. Because if we read this, consistently and daily, oh my goodness, watch how it will change our lives. Watch how it will change our lives. But in the meantime, I think a lot of us may have lost our treasure. We've lost the treasure that is God's word. Billy Graham, is anyone familiar with Billy Graham? Billy Graham was one of the most incredible evangelists. And after, man, I think he traveled for over about 5 decades. It says that he preached the gospel to over 215 million people. And he passed away just a couple years ago. And at the end of his life, people were asking him, Pastor Billy, what are some, like, do you have any regrets? Would you do anything differently? And he said 2 things. This is Billy Graham, one of the biggest evangelists of our generation. And he said, I wish I spent more time with my family, and I wish I spent more time with God. One of the biggest evangelists that I remember going to a Billy Graham crusade. Did anybody go to one in the 90s? And he would just open up and he'd be like, anyone that wants to know Jesus, anyone. And they would run to come and get to know Jesus. This man that was so anointed with God at the end of his life said, I wish I had spent more time in his word. I wish that I had spent more time in prayer. Now, I don't know about you, that's crazy. A man who devoted his life in servitude to Jesus wishes that he still spent more time with him. So what is our treasure? What is our treasure this morning? We read in this story with Mary and Martha. A lot of us are very familiar with this story, that we can almost picture it. We can picture Martha in the kitchen over there. She's making some hummus. I don't know. She's sitting there like cooking things, and she's probably yelling at the kids to go outside, and she's trying to listen, all while at the same time being like, oh, look at Mary over there. She's just like not really helping, and I'm over here doing everything. I'm cooking food. There's 13 people at my house, and here's, you know what I mean? We can imagine the situation, and here is Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, basking in his word, taking in every little bit. And Martha approaches Jesus and just goes, come on, tell my sister that she needs to be in the kitchen helping me. And what is Jesus's response? Martha, Martha, You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. One thing. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Don't you think that when Jesus says there's one thing that is needed, we should pay attention? And that one thing is that Mary was treasuring every word coming out of Jesus's mouth. She sat there and knew that there was something different because he was there, and she was not going to let something distract her from the very words Jesus was sharing. Are we treasuring God's word in our life? When you look through the scriptures, we see story after story, person after person of them longing to know and be in the presence of God. You see in Psalms 119, it is the biggest chapter in the entire Bible, and the whole thing talks about people longing for God's word. Just a few of the verses it talks about says, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your words I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Trust, may I teach me your statutes. Open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments of all things." It continues and goes on and on about teaching me. Teach me your ways, God. Teach me who you are, what you think. It talks about this is where we also get your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, people in that time would travel long and far to go to the temples to hear the word of God because they didn't have it. We didn't have access to a phone or a book in their homes, and people were not educated enough to actually be able to know how to read. So they longed to be able to know the words of God, and they relied on the stories and the traditions to be passed down from generation to generation to know God's word. And yet, we have it. I have it on my phone in 25 different translations. Oh, and different languages. Oh, and I have YouTube, and I have blueletterbible.org, and I've got YouVersion, and we have the Bible coming out of our ears, and yet we're not treasuring it. We're not reading it. We're not spending time making this a priority in our life. And I'm not sitting here to point fingers. I am talking to myself. It is so hard for me, and I am so convicted as I was reading this, and the Lord reminded me of a story, and I'm going to bring a little caveat to the story. First of all, this is really extreme, and I don't recommend anybody ever doing this, and I don't think it was a wise thing because I don't think that this speaker ever did it again. But in my, I think I was a freshman in high school, I went to a camp, and the camp speaker brought out a Bible, and he was basically talking about the importance of reading God's word and knowing it. And he opens it up, and we're all sitting there around this bonfire, and he goes, "What's in Genesis? What's in the book of Genesis?" And we're like, "In the beginning, God, he created. Is Noah in there? Is, you know what I mean?" We started to say, "What's in Genesis?" And he was like, okay, what's in Numbers?" And we were like, we don't really know. He ripped it out of his Bible and threw it in the fire. "What's in Deuteronomy?" I don't know. Ripped it out of his Bible and threw it in the fire. "What's in Leviticus? What's in 1 Samuel? What's in 2 Kings? What's in..." And he goes through every single book, and by the time we were done, our Bible was so small. And he, remember him holding this up, and he says, "This is all you know of God's word." We want to hear God's word every single day for our life, and yet we won't open the very thing he's given us in our hand. And I remember sitting there being like, "I can't believe this guy just did that." But at the same time, I have never forgotten it. And it has convicted me in such a different way to sit here and realize we call ourselves Christians. And for some of us, we have walked with the Lord for many, many years, maybe decades. Have you written your whole word from cover to cover? Maybe not in that order, but have you actually written everything that is in here? And yet we get frustrated that God is not talking to us, yet he is always talking to us. You see, the Bible is a beautiful story of God trying to bring order and peace and beauty out of the chaos that is this world. It is a love story between him and his people. It opens in Genesis with the beginning and the creation of the world and how he walked among us, and then sin entered it and things had to change, and it ends with things being restored. It is a book full of God's faithfulness, of how continuously you see God's people being like, we love you, God. Oh, I'm going to do my own thing. We love you, God. I'm going to follow after you. Oh, but maybe I'm going to take it on my own choice. Oh, we love you. And watching how God still continuously says, I'm right here. I'm going to love you even when you choose not to love me. It is a story and a book about our identity. You're wondering who we are. Why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my worth? Why am I born? Right here. We are born and created in his image. And we are not accidents. We know our worth and our value, that we are so valuable that God gave his son down to us, his very flesh and blood, his son to us, because he wanted to be reunited with us again. Doesn't that tell you that I'm a little bit more valuable than I thought? His word tells us about the joys of our salvation. His word reminds us of the peace we have access to. That no matter what grief we are facing, the hardships, the uncertainty, the irritations, the God, I don't know what to do anymore. His word reminds us that he is with us, that he has not forsaken us. We are not alone. Come on. When we read his word, it changes things. You see, this book was written in about a 2,000-year span by over 40 different authors, compiled in 66 different books, and yet it does not contradict itself. And yet it is historically accurate. And yet it is living and active. And yet it speaks to us thousands of years later. That we can read the same scripture over and over again and walk away with different things and different pieces because it's living. Amen. I have only one point for us. Treasure his word. I don't want to manipulate us. I don't want to stir things up. I don't want to be emotional. I don't want to rip things out and throw it in fires. Like, this is God's very word. And we have access to it. Online, you have access to it. You have it digitally, but maybe you don't have a physical Bible. Let us know. Online, in person, if you need a physical Bible, I got some here. We will mail you one. Because there is something beautiful about this, that I love flipping through the pages. This is a newer Bible for me, so it's not as highlighted as my others, but to see the places that I've highlighted, to see the things that I've written in the margins of what God has spoken to me, that even this, as I was reading through Psalms 119, I was talking about like, the word is a lamp unto my feet. I was like, simple doesn't always mean easy. That reading this is simple, we read it, doesn't mean it's easy. You see, God's word is meant to be treasured. You see, we live in an information era. It says that the internet currently holds 40 zettabytes. Don't even know. 40 zettabytes currently. And they expect that by 2025, there will be 175 zettabytes on the internet alone. To give that in comparison, they say that to download everything during current spanning things, I don't know, technology, to download it all in our basic speed that we have access to right now would take 1.8 billion years. Whoa. That to download it all, and I double checked and I put it in all caps, it would take 1.8 billion years to download all the information that we have access to on the internet. We have so much information. We are bombarded everywhere. Advertisements, TV, television, our phone. Nowadays, it's like, I wonder who played that actor again in that show when I was a kid. You know, and we could, whoop, there it is. I know the answer immediately. I remember, like, does anyone remember encyclopedias? And, like, I only had, like, four of them because we couldn't afford them. So if it was in a letter you didn't have, well, hopefully they have it at the library. We have it in our hands now. Information is so readily available to us that we find that information is what is defining things for us instead of inspiration. That information is defining things for us instead of inspiration. That was Jesus. That's not even in my notes. That we are going to culture to define for us what our identity should be. That we are going to culture to define for us how love should be defined. We are going to culture and society and the internet to even, we're going to commentaries. We're going to other, I'm sorry, but if you want to find an answer in the Bible and you can Google it to find a commentary, you're going to find two opposing commentaries and you just find the journey that you want. No. Go for God's word. Study ourselves. We are so hungry for information, but we're literally letting the enemy spoon feed us instead of getting the very meat that God has given us already to chew on. I'm tired of letting the enemy define things for me. That I looked at my family. I looked at how my mom was, how my family interacted. I looked at society and culture, what I knew from high school and middle school, and oh, they dated, they did this, so I don't know what love is, so let me figure it out. Like, no matter what, it always will leave you empty. But when you fill yourself with the truth of God's word, you will be satisfied. You will be satisfied. We need to let God begin to define for us the truth of who we are. We need to let God define for us the truth of who He is. We need to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness in our lives, but flip through these pages and you see story after story after story. You need some encouragement this morning? Read some stories. You see, God's word is truth. Truth doesn't change. Truth is not relative. Truth is not, oh, well, we thought it was this, but then we got new information, so now it's this. No, truth never changes. And God's word is truth. I know that that's hard, and especially me, I'm a very black and white person, so a lot of it's like, yes, but we've got to begin to look through our word. You see, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's a lot of Christianese right there. But it means that it's true and it is God-breathed. That this is not just words men wrote down, but it is inspiration by the Lord imparted to his people to write down. So this is God's truth, and we stand on that. You see, if you can't sit here and say that that this word is true, then you are going to waver yourself right on away. This has to be our first foundation, that God is true, and his word shows it and proves it over and over and over again. We see in Hebrews 13:8 that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Proverbs 35 talks about that every word of God proves true. Can I get an amen? You see, God's word is love. I'm reminded of stories after stories that show me how God loves us. Of the prodigal son who took all of his life and his inheritance early and squandered it away to live whatever he wanted. But the second he turned back to the Father, the Father ran and embraced him and celebrated him and put a robe on him and gave him a ring and threw him a party. That is how God loves us. I'm reminded of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But man, if you actually just sit in that, we took communion this morning and we remind ourselves, this is God's beloved, and he gave him for us to be broken, one of the most brutal deaths for us, for me. Man, God's word is so loving. God's word brings life. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team back up. God's word is life. That when we read this, It encourages us. It instills something in us. It inspires us. Doesn't mean it's easy, right? That sometimes we even read through this and I go, what am I reading? Can I just be honest that we can stand on the truth of God's word and not understand it? But we can ask that the Holy Spirit would let us know and impart to us, Lord, enlighten your word to me. The things that I don't understand, let me lean more into you. You see, God doesn't want to just spoon feed it to you either. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants an intimacy with you. He wants to draw you into the secret place with him. If you were to think of, if you've ever been in love in your life before, if they were just like, oh, hey, what's up? Cool. I don't want that. You want the person that's going to drive 5 hours to spend 5 minutes with you. That you want the person that it doesn't matter if it's going to cost them however much it's going to cost them because they want to give you everything. You want the person who's going to say, I'm going to love you, but I'm also going to show you that I love you. And that's what God does over and over and over and over again. And the least we can do is open his word, be disciplined in his word. We wonder things like, how can I be a better spouse one day? A better mom? How can I be a better leader? A better boss? How can I find peace? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? You can find all those in his word. Amazing things happen when you study scriptures. Your mind illuminates, your heart resonates, the truth comes into your life. You see, the Bible is more than just a doctrinal book. It creates faith. It produces change. It causes miracles. It heals hurts. It builds character. It transforms circumstances. It imparts joy. It overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. It builds hope. It releases power. It cleanses minds. It brings things into being, and so much more. God's word does not return void. So may we be people who pursue the word of the Lord. May we treasure his word. And I just encourage you, what do I do? How do I do this? Start small. Read 5 minutes. Start in the Gospel of John. In the beginning, there was God and the word was with him. Start there. Spend 5 minutes a day. Set an alarm. There are beautiful resources at your fingertips. Do SOAP, the SOAP acronym. That means scripture. What stands out to you? Observations do you make? What is the observation of that passage? How can you apply it? And pray that into you. God, may this take root in my life. May it form and shape me into your image and your likeness. May we be people. Imagine if every Christian across the world was submerged in his word and treasured it in their heart. How different would we live? How different of a spouse would we be? Of a teacher to children, of an aunt, of a boss? May his word transform you this week. We're gonna just spend some time and just sing in a couple verses. If you're in person or online, I want you to just close your eyes for a second. What is something that you are facing that you need a reminder that God will not fail? That doesn't mean he's going to work how we want him to. But we still need the reminder that God won't fail. Whatever that is, I just invite you, hold it in your hand, lift your hands, whatever that is. God, I pray over my family that still doesn't know you. The salvations that I'm still standing and believing on. God, I pray for the family members that I know who have lost people. God, I pray for the areas where grief still stricken us. What are the things that we need? Jesus, we just give them to you. We give them to you because you can be trusted with it. Because you are faithful. Because your plans for us are good.
plans.
Because your plans for us are to prosper us, that even though this might be hard and difficult and not be fun to walk through, God, you are with me.
Yes, God.
So God, we just remind ourselves that today. You won't fail. It is impossible for you to fail. And we can rest in that, and we can stand on that.
Amen.
And God, we thank you for that. And God, we thank you for your word, that you loved us so much that you gave us your word.
Yes.
May we treasure that in our hearts today, this week.
Yes, God.
And may we be disciplined to chase after you in that. Mm. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We love you all. May you have a great, great week. And let's go and be the church.